Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.
Greetings and a hearty welcome to our UFCCM laity and friends and supporters of this ministry to another Ministry of Laity Training Outreach broadcast. We're so thankful and grateful that God has allowed us to come together one more time to share with you through these broadcasts. We and our goal is to fulfill the goal of the UFCC and Ministry of Laity Training, which is in keeping with Ephesians 4:11-13, to prepare the laity for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and that we may be matured spiritually. Again, we welcome you to this broadcast, and at this time we're going to open with our opening prayer by Bishop J.G. Kramer.
We thank you, Lord, that we might be able to gather together again to learn from your word and grow by that word and be better servants of yours all the days of our life. Bless our speaker today, anoint her words, and let them come home to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Kramer, for that opening prayer and for being with us today. And as I always remind you, our theme for this year's Laity Training Outreach broadcast is UFCCM Laity, a people prepared, empowered, and emboldened by God's word for greater work. And as I often tell you, we're featuring a variety of speakers, anointed speakers of God, including some of our bishops and other UFCCM clergy leaders, as well as UFCCM laity, who will present lessons and learning sessions around this year's theme. So we want to encourage you, our listeners, to continue to tune in on the second Saturday of every month at 12 noon Eastern Time. And during these broadcasts, you know you will have the opportunity to call in with your comments, your questions, your testimonies, or even insights which you may want to share to build up the laity. Remember that if you're listening online on the UFCCM homepage or if you're on Facebook, you must call in with your questions or comments by using your phone. The call-in number is 347-850-1405. That's 347-850-1405. We're excited and pleased to hear from you, and we encourage your participation. It is an honor today to have as our speaker Sister Elizabeth Kramer of Rainbow City, Alabama. You may recall that Sister Kramer was our speaker last month, and due to some technical issues, we were only to broadcast part one of her dynamic presentation. So she is going to continue with part two today. I want to remind you that Sister Kramer is the wife of our Bishop J.G. Kramer, who is the UFCCM Southeast Jurisdictional Bishop. She's the mother of three children and grandmother of two. And Sister Kramer received her education in Catholic schools. At the age of 12, she made the decision to follow Christ. And after graduating from high school, she entered the Benedictine convent. And it was during those years that she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as the Bible teaches. She decided not to continue as a nun, and interestingly worked in a hippie outreach ministry in the 70s. She's also taught school and worked with the mentally handicapped. She's been a personal aide to a vision-impaired child, and for the past 20 years, she has been studying the Hebrew roots of Christianity. She's the author of a book entitled Seven Millennia of Man on Planet Earth, Some Lesser Known History. It's an excellent book which provides an understanding of where the religions of men fit in the timelines of history. Sister Kramer has truly lived and is living a life of service to God and to man. We're so glad to have you here today, Sister Kramer, and we're looking forward to part two of the lesson that you are going to share with us. What is your subject for today?
Well, I'm going to review this the last week and then continue on last month. Continue on. The theme scripture, should I go ahead and start now?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Our theme scripture is 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And God paid for you, so now you belong to God." Now, what we were last time comparing the tabernacle on earth had two sections. We had the Holy of Holies and in front of it the holy place. So we're comparing ourselves that now we are the temple of God. There's not a functioning temple here on earth as there was in the Old Testament days. But we have become this temple of the Lord. So what we're looking at is how we correspond to being the temple of the Lord. When you see that God paid this price for you, you are precious. God, when he created man, he took this dirt, he took this pile of dirt and formed it into a man, and he breathed into that man, and he became a living soul. So we are part of the earth, and that we were made from the earth and this planet. We kind of belong to this planet. But God put his stamp on man and created his soul in the image of God. Now, what happened was that with the fall, man estranged himself from God, but God didn't leave him without hope. He promised a Redeemer. So what we had was man who was in the image of God, this body that we are familiar with, but on the inside he was estranged from God. His spirit was like it was shriveled up and wasn't functioning anymore. And in the course of his life, his soul became fractured and injured by bad things that happened along the way and bad thoughts he had and bad conclusions. So we're all born with what we know as the fallen nature. This is where we are not connected to God, yet we long for God. God left in the soul of man that yearning to be united again with our Maker. So what happens at salvation is that the Holy Spirit comes in again to a person, and that shriveled up spirit of man becomes alive again. We talk about being born again. It's revitalized from where it was not from the beginning. It was born again. And first we have physical birth, and then we have this spiritual birth. But that the spirit of man became alive. And now we are gods. And we compared to the house. If you buy a house, that house is now yours. And you go in and you see what it needs fixing. And you do it the way you want it done. And you make the changes that you think would best suit what you want in a house. So we can look at it that same as ourselves now. We, the temple, are now the temple of the Lord, and the Lord is coming to take possession of his house. And this is a good thing because he is going to form us to be the person that he would desire us to be. So that's the part with the spirit being revived. And then the other section is the soul, and that's what we're going to look at more specifically today. The soul part is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, like I said, this is fractured and broken because of all the things that have happened to us, even things that impressions before we were born, things that happened to us. There are people whose mothers didn't want to be pregnant or have had violent things happen to their mother, and those things have affected a child too. So even before we're born, our soul starts to be fractured and broken. So God is in the business of restoring, and that's what Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. So that's what I want to look at today, is the restoration of your soul. Now, what has happened with all these modern advances is that science and technology has supported lots of those things that we have seen in scriptures. You are probably familiar with how science has supported different aspects of things that we know, that we study in science. Well, there's new technology that is done with brain imaging, and this brain imaging has given us a clearer insight into the fact that there really is changes that happen in our brain. And they can take pictures of your brain and see it work, and it lights up. It runs on energy, electrical type energy, that takes pictures so that they have that. And they're studying how man thinks and how things affect him. And what they have discovered, now this is some things that have been reported. The doctor's name is Dr. Carolyn Leaf, and she has written a book that's called Who Switched Off My Brain? And videos, you can find videos by her on YouTube, and they really give you these explanations, and they're really good. I'll say again, her name is Dr. Carolyn Leaf, and it's Who Switched Off My Brain is her book. But if you just Google her name, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, you'll get links to the videos that she has done. It tells us in Proverbs 23:7 that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So these are pictures of what man's thinking, and they're seeing how it works. What they have discovered is that memories and emotions are attached to the cell with a glue-like protein. And then as signals are sent to the brain, this glue is strengthened. Now, when the signals cease, the glue weakens, and it moves to where the signals are going. Now, the result is that the branches that are receiving signals are strengthened, and those that don't receive the signals are dismantled. So these are active things actually going on inside your brain down on this subatomic level that they're being able to take pictures of. But this is why it's important what we think. Now, we have a scripture in Philippians that tells us whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So this is supported by these scientific things that they're able to take pictures of, that if you're thinking, whatever you're thinking is getting strengthened. Now, the reverse then is also true, that those toxic things that we have thought and the things that are in our memories, that they too can be changed, because these neurons that are not getting signals are being pulled apart and they are destroying the negative emotions. So you can see that it goes both ways. You can dismantle those negative things that have been programmed into your brain, and you can strengthen the positive things. So it is very important what we think. And this has to do with the restoration of our soul, that those things that have fallen apart in our soul because of the bad things that have happened to us, these things can actually be reversed, and we can change them by thinking the positive things. And we think, oh, well, they just say that. That's not really, they just say think positive things. But they have discovered by this brain imaging that it really is something to them, and that there really is a benefit to what you think, so that what you think will strengthen those good things, what we say about, and that's the next thing, this is what we say, that speech is the verbal expression of our thoughts. So we think about something and then we say it. So this says why it's important that we speak those positive things, that we speak things that are things in faith, and speak things that are blessings, and not to say anything that is negative. That it's important that we watch what we say, because what we say becomes reality. So we've heard that, and yet we're finding from this technology that it really is something physical that goes on in our brain. So the restoration of our soul is something that we can take part in by doing those positive things. Okay, see if I can get more water here. Thinking positive things and not making negative statements about ourselves or about other people, because those things that we say, and we know the power of the spoken word, those things that we say will affect the other people too, that this what's spoken out into the air. So that's why we say things that are faith, and we say things that are positive, and we don't think or speak things that are negative. Especially if you're thinking something negative, don't say it about somebody. Speak well of your children. Speak well of those that you work with. Speak well of your family. Speak well of your church. So the importance of speaking well goes not only for ourselves, but for everyone that we have contact with. So the restoration of our soul is God fixing up inside those things in our soulish part of us, our mind, our will, our emotions, to restore them to the place of wholeness, to a place of where they can function and be our life, be a witness to the Lord, be an edification to those around us. And this includes speaking health to yourself, speaking health on a daily basis. And if you're particularly in a situation where you are in need of health, just to be sure that you're thinking health and speaking health, because it actually has a physical effect on how your brain is functioning. So God has made us to be the temple of the Lord and has called us to walk with Him, and is working on the restoration of our soul so that we can be the best ambassador for Him that we can. Because all of this is in preparation for His kingdom to come. His kingdom will come first in us, and then after it comes in us, it will be, we can make it manifest to those who are around us, to those who we are ministering to those who are in our sphere of influence. And this is how the kingdom of God will first come on earth, until it comes when He comes back. And this is the preparation of the bride of Christ for the coming of the Lord, the bride without spot or wrinkle. This is also deals with the restoration of the bride, and that each individual is coming to a place of greater perfection, a greater wholeness within each of the individuals to that are making up the bride, so that the bride of Christ is moving to being closer to being ready for his return, which is what we are expecting soon, sooner than it's ever been. So remember that God dwells in each of us, and because he dwells in us, we have been given power and authority, and that's as ambassadors. We have power and authority, and we are to use that power and authority for ourselves, for our own health and our well-being, and for those that are around us. So God dwells in you. He dwells in you with power and authority. He dwells in you to restore your soul and bring you to that place of wholeness in him. Now, salvation is like being connected to the power grid. You're filled with the Spirit, and your wires are now able to take that high voltage from the Lord. You are able to get direct feedback from heaven. And this is a house restored. You've got the electricity. You've got the inside that's being restored on a daily basis. This is the process of the sanctification of your soul. Salvation is the one time the power is on, but the restoration is the sanctification, change from glory to glory, as the scripture tells us. So think of it that way. And because of that, we'll use that same analogy again, that our adversary, if you think of how much you are in God and how the position that you have in God, that your adversary can be really considered like a mere mosquito, that he does not have power, you are the person who has the power because of the God that's in you. Your adversary is a defeated foe, and you shouldn't be letting him bully you around or torment you. If he is, you can just tell him that you know that he is defeated, that your place is in God, and that you have power and authority over him, and just in the name of the Lord, command him to leave you alone. So another advantage of the fact that you are now the dwelling place of God is your position of authority in respect to the adversary of your soul, because until the Lord comes back, we're still going to have to deal with that adversary. So remember that you have that place of power and authority, and think on it and speak it. So this the restoration is by thought, and then by speaking, you help with this process of the restoration, you establishing it within yourself as God gives you the grace to take those steps. So I think that'll cover it all. I'll turn it over to y'all if you have any questions.
Thank you, Lady Kramer, for that inspiring presentation. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with your questions and comments.
Get ready, coming to the USCCM Internet Radio Network, August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, the USCCM Presiding Prelate presents a 3-day on-air miracle deliverance revival. featuring UFCCM bishops, excerpts from the 2017 Fellowship Conference, music, preaching, teaching, and live prayer line. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, 8 o'clock p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't you dare miss it. Go to the UFCCM website at ufccm.org to tune in. Bishop Henry A. Tindall, Sr., presiding prelate.
Mr. Kramer, I know that our director has some people on the line who may have questions or comments, but I just wanted to make a comment. This lesson that you gave us is so inspirational, and as I was listening to you talking about man being created in the image of God and man estranging himself from God, I love the coda that you put on that, but God did not leave man without hope, and
right.
He sent the Redeemer. And this just blessed my soul and just reinforces how good God is.
Right.
And we must all remember that. And when you talk about think and speak, we need to think and speak. God is so good.
That's it.
And that is a part of restoring our soul and restoring our strength and building our faith in God.
Right.
And the other thing that you talked about and which resonated with me is this notion that we have power and authority. And many years ago, I recall God speaking to me and saying, I gave it to you, now use it.
Mm-hmm.
And you may want to speak to that, but having power and authority and not using it is like having a lamp in your house and trying to get into a dark room and not turning it on.
Right. Yeah, this power and authority, too, is as an ambassador, because that's what we are here now as is an ambassador. And an ambassador speaks in the place of whoever it is, the king or the leader that he is, the country that he's the ambassador for, that person has the power and authority that's given him, delegated by the whoever it is. He's the representative of, and we as representatives of the Lord have the power and the authority by the power of the Holy Spirit to do those things that that God wanted done, and in His place, we are now in this age. We are in the place of God on earth, as with the power and authority of the Lord to be used to bring about the kingdom and to advance the causes of the kingdom.
Exactly. And your presentation today, interestingly enough to my mind, has removed any excuses for us as laity and the body of Christ in general to have a spirit of victimization.
Right.
We don't need to be victims. And I was thinking of that passage in Romans 8:37 lets us know we are more than conquerors.
Right.
And in the restoration of our soul, by what we think and what we speak and what we walk in, we have the ability to not be a victim of the enemy and his devices. If
That's
we
it.
Would just use the tools that God has given us.
That's right. And that's why it's necessary that we be aware of who we are and what we have, to know that what we can do, that we do have that power and authority to not be a victim anymore.
Exactly. And I love the thought that you gave, which, you know, we've all been guilty of saying things that we should not say. I know I have. I work
mm-hmm.
on that every day because we're striving, but to speak positive things. And sometimes in today's life, it is very difficult to speak positive, to speak positive things when we see people around us doing all these things and all of this stuff going on. It is a challenge, but we are up to the challenge if we remember that we belong to God and that we're more than conquerors.
Right, right.
So I don't know if our director, Bishop Haywood, has any callers on the line who have, if you want to call in with your testimonies or comments or questions, we're open to receive them. Well, while we're waiting for Bishop Haywood, I would encourage our listeners to check out the book by Dr. Carolyn Lee, Who Switched Off My Brain, because one of the things that we know that we are not of the world, but we live in the world, and it is very helpful if we are aware of scientific studies and other things that go on, because sometimes we can learn from those things if we remember that God is the source of all, and He gives us the ability to read and to understand and to glean ideas, and He's the chief scientist. He's mm-hmm. the chief researcher. He's the chief psychologist. It is only through Him that revelation knowledge is shared that we can apply to our lives.
Yeah, that's right, and He is the one that created it, and we're just learning and appreciating what He created and how intricate what He created, how it works, for all the years that man's been. It's only in these days that we're really able to have that fuller appreciation of how minutely God has created and functions in all of these at this level, taking a picture of your brain. I mean, who would have ever even thought you could do that?
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes when I think about the human body or even nature, just observing the beautiful earth that God has created, I have to say that scripture is so true. You would have to be a fool not to believe that there is a God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, but
right.
everything around us points to the existence of God.
Right. Right.
And we see His handiwork everywhere. So we thank God for this. And this lesson has been a refreshment, I believe, and I hope, I know it's been a refreshment for me, and I hope that it has been a refreshment to our leaders. And, you know, one of the key words in our theme this year is empowered. This
right.
is an empowering lesson. And if we would use it, it would be powerful. So, Bishop Haywood, are you there?
Yes, blessings. I am here. And we're going to go to a quick break. And we do have a few people on the line that actually have a question or comment. But we'll go to a break, and then we'll be right back. Is that okay, Teacher Tindall?
That's wonderful. Be right back.
All right.
Get ready, coming to the USCCM Internet Radio Network, August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, the USCCM Presiding Prelate presents a three-day on-air miracle deliverance revival featuring USCCM bishops, excerpts from the 2017 Fellowship Conference, music, preaching, teaching, and live prayer line. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, 8 o'clock p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't you dare miss it. Go to the UFCCM website at ufccm.org to tune in. Bishop Henry A. Tindall, Sr., presiding prelate.
Well, blessings, Teacher Tindall. We're back, and we do have on the line, we have Elder Hunt, who has expressed a desire to have a few words. And then right after that, we'll have our Bishop Kramer out of Rainbow City, Alabama. So right now, we'll bring in Elder Carolyn Hunt. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you, Thank you, Bishop. I would like to, first of all, thank God for the broadcast, and especially thank Mr. Kramer for those encouraging words today, because as you were speaking, I was thinking of the scripture that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we do have the power through the Holy Spirit to speak those things over ourselves and those around us as though they are and not as what we actually see, because we do walk by faith and not by sight. And when we have power over our minds and our abilities to think and to do and to be, then we can truly understand that we do have the Spirit of God within us, and understand that he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I just wanted to let you know what I was thinking as you were speaking and how much I was inspired by what you said.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elder Hunt, for those comments.
Teacher Tindall, we have one question. I guess it's a question. And the question is to the guest, and it's, how can I put my soul and body under subjection because I'm not consistent?
Oh,
okay. Well, the power is coming from the Holy Spirit. So to bring your soul under subjection, I would say those things that you know that are positive, the reading of the scripture, because the word of God is your source of instruction, the source of truth, and the power of the word in your life. So be constant daily in the word. Even take that word, find some scriptures that fit the situation that you're dealing with, and pray those scriptures. Because God likes to hear his word prayed back to him. So praying the scriptures is another powerful way of bringing about within you those things that you would like to develop, which God wants developed.
You know, Sister Kramer, I can kind of hear this person, you know, in their question. I can also hear them saying, well, what if I don't understand the scriptures and I don't know where to go? What do I do? Because from their question, it just sounds like they really want to do right, but they just, you know, can't do it. And I think, you know, we get it, you know, read scriptures, but I can, you know, what happens if they ask us, and I can't ask the person this, maybe they'll type something back, but if they don't know about scripture, they don't understand it, you know, and what do they do?
A couple of suggestions. Hopefully you're in a fellowship somewhere where you have other Christians that you can talk to, and that you could have a relationship with them and express to them that you would like to help to find scriptures if you are having difficulty locating things on your own. If you have a computer, you can just type in most anything there in that browser, and they'll give you a list of things. If you want to find a scripture, just type a few words, and lots of times the computer is a marvelous tool these days if you have access to the internet. So that is a second thing. But the people that you have fellowship with are really, they're the people who are walking with you on a daily basis, and who are there to help you in your walk. So I would say reach out to those people that you know who are in your fellowship, or if you don't have a fellowship, look around and contact us and let us see if we can help you find someone.
That's a good point. You know, go to ufccm.org, and you can go there. And once you go there, you can email us, and I'm sure we'll be able to put you in contact with someone.
Exactly. And one other thing, if I might interject, I had this question from my adult students in my Christian education class about reading the King James Version of the Bible. sometimes people find it difficult to understand because the way things are worded. One of the suggestions I have is to, when you Google, look at some of the other versions, like the Bible in Basic English, and some of the other versions, that the New International Version and some others, because those people have attempted to use language that is a little more easily understood, which may help you to understand what you're reading. And when you talk to people or you go to individuals for guidance, bring that up, because notwithstanding the fact that those versions simplify things, you have to be really careful that they don't go too far the other way. But it is an attempt to bring it down to some basic English that is a lot easier to understand.
And I have found too that if you're reading several different versions, you can see what's the same in them, and that helps make it concrete to you too, that the idea comes across. People have said it a different way, but it's the same idea, and that helps sometimes with the clarity of what they're actually talking about.
Absolutely.
If you're listening online right now and you're not calling in by phone, you're listening by Facebook, by the UFCCM website, in the chat room, if you'd like to call in, that'll be the only way you'll be able to actually ask a question, unless you type the question in or comment. You can dial 347-850-1405, 347-850-1405, and you'll be able to get your questions. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual wisdom here. Teacher Tendo, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Bishop Kramer. Is that okay?
That is wonderful.
All right, Bishop Kramer.
Well, hello. Hello, it's good to be here today. I was sorry I was not able to be with you on the last broadcast, except to pray. I had another commitment, but as Elizabeth was speaking, there were two things that came to my mind. I'm reminded of the verse in Proverbs 23:7, where it says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, if you take that just at face value, that would almost tell you it's not possible to be anything other than who or what we are. But that's not true, because of the work of grace in our lives. As Elizabeth said, we've been given the power and authority to change the way we think about things, which improves our entire circumstance. I want to give you an example of that Elizabeth shared with me several months ago. Some of you know that for a couple of years now, I've been dealing with some wound problems off and on, and it can be rather discouraging at times. And one day, she brought me a verse of scripture where you were talking about using different translations. This is from the Complete Jewish Bible. It's Proverbs 58:8, and it says, "Your new skin will quickly grow over your wound." I have that on a 3x5 card, and I look at that every day, and it has worked wonders in the way I look at my situation, and I call on God and believe that His work will be finished, not only in my soulish realm in the restoration, but in my body as well. And we're almost at complete closure with all these wound issues. And I do attribute a great deal of that to the renewing of the mind. So I appreciate what she shared today. I have the privilege of living with her every day and hearing some of these things. But I wanted to share from my own personal perspective how that has ministered to me, and I hope it would help you as well.
Well, Bishop Kramer, so then that new skin suggests to me, and now correct me here, or at least, you know, help me to understand a little more, that new skin pulled over those wounds. The wounds are still there, but the fact that the new skin is there, it will actually heal and give us new perspective. Is that kind of what that means?
Well, yeah, it's that's one application of it, but there's a literal physical application as well, because with a wound, it depends on several factors, but one of the primary things with a wound is that you've heard this expression called a wound bed. Well, a wound bed has to reach a certain level of height before new skin will begin to migrate in over the wound. And in that sense, this scripture says the same thing about our spiritual self, because we're broken, we're wounded, we're in pieces, and we have to grow into that wellness that God has for us, for that skin to grow over and make us whole.
Well, Bishop, you just gave me something to add to my preaching tomorrow. I'll give you credit the first time, but it's mine after that.
And I am so happy, Bishop Kramer, that you shared that, because, you know, so often we preach and we teach and we exhort and we encourage, and people hear that, but when there is someone that is an actual witness or has actually experienced that, it is more credible, and it encourages and inspires people to trust more.
Amen. I would also like to piggyback on the other comment about using different translations or versions of the scripture. We all recognize, and I'm an old King James man, I grew up with it, but I recognize readily that the King James is just a translation from an original text. And
right.
So when you use other translations, it gives a little bit of a different flavor, a little bit of a different insight. And I don't think that's in any way dishonoring the Word of God, because the more that we can learn and expand our thoughts, God can quicken those things to give us greater insight. So I encourage everyone to not be bound by one or two or even three translations. Maybe use several and see it from different perspectives, so that God can take those seeds and illuminate our understanding, so that we grow up even more into the likeness of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Bishop, for those words. And I hope our listeners take it in, because, you know, there's no excuse for being confused. There are too many sources and resources and individuals that are available to us to help us understand. We just have to seek those and have that curiosity and that desire to know more of God and to understand His Word. That's why this broadcast is so important, as well as other avenues.
I have one final comment I wanted to make, and this is speaking to finances. We're talking about speaking positive. And I know that everybody has an issue with finances. Don't speak to your lack. Speak to the fact that, thank you, God, I have those needs for today. It says as we should be thankful, and today has enough troubles. So speak to the fact that you've got it today and say, thank you, Lord, that it's coming in, what I'm going to need tomorrow. Don't speak to that lack. Don't speak of that lack, but speak of the fact that God will meet your needs. And we're not going to worry about it, because God is our provider. So I just want to make that comment.
Amen. All right, Bishop Haywood, do we have any other callers?
No, we don't have any other callers. We did do some screening, and we just got the comment that, you know, they're enjoying, they're listening, but they don't have any specific questions, you know, at this time.
Well, praise God. Well, we thank God for another opportunity to share together, for another broadcast. We certainly thank Sister Kramer, Lady Kramer, for her presentation, because it has been a true blessing to us. I know I've been truly blessed, and I've been encouraged about certain things that I'm experiencing just listening to the broadcast today. And I hope you are as well, as we continue to prepare ourselves by God's word so that we can do greater work. Bishop Haywood, our director, we thank you. And Bishop Haywood did announce our upcoming radio revival, which we're looking forward to. Go to the USCCM website, usccm.org, and check it out. And we know it's going to be a powerful move of God. Next month, our presenter is going to be Bishop Haywood, who's going to bring us a powerful lesson. And so we encourage you to keep praying and keep thinking positive thoughts. And we're going to close now with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for being with us today, for allowing us to come together one more time. We thank you for Lady Kramer, who has brought to our hearing powerful words of empowerment and life, that we may be encouraged to grow in you as never before. We thank you for the USCCM, all of our prelate, our bishops, and everyone from everywhere, as well as our friends and listeners. Bless each and every one as we go down from this place until we gather again together. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen. Goodbye, everybody, and have a blessed day in the Lord.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.